You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The World Bank has approved a $925 million loan, around 16 billion rand, for South Africa to support a six-year program that is aimed at reconstructing and developing South African cities. National Treasury is said to be using this money to reward the cities that show real performance improvements and accountability and institutional reforms. We're going to be taking a look at this with independent analyst and founder of Karuska Consulting, Kaya Sotole. Joins me on the line now to see what we make of this. Kaya, always lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. It seems every time you and I catch up, there are new loans being processed and new finances being awarded. Can we make sense of this latest loan?
Good evening, and good evening to the listeners. So the loan seems to be one of those programs that these multilateral institutions tend to put together that is incentive-based. And what that simply means is that it is a loan that says if you do well, you will get access to more resources to do better. So the problem statement is that left their own devices, these cities, and I suspect a lot of South Africa's sub-national government structures, either do not generate enough income autonomously or do not have a strong enough economic and a consumer base for them to be able to do all the things that they need to do. That's the first problem, the lack of resources. There is then the simple question of, well, even if resources were not an issue, how do you get those that are tasked with running the cities to do the best that they can with what little that they do have? And an incentive program seems to be able to provide that positive stimulus that says that, look, we know that you wish you could do more. However, if you can demonstrate how well you can do with what little you have, you will have access to much more that you can utilize in order to obviously deliver to your citizens. So it's really that we know exists in public resources, and it is also an incentive-based one. So the better you do, the more resources you get allocated. And hopefully those that are obviously part of this program will be able to capitalize on that.
Kaya, it seems as though National Treasury at this point is trying to balance both carrot and stick. I think about the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality that the National Treasury is upset with for not having done enough to address the 22 billion rand in wasteful expenditure that was uncovered there. It seems this program that we're looking at here is more of the carrot side of the conversation rather than the stick. How precarious a balance does this become for National Treasury, especially given that we do have that midterm budget policy statement happening tomorrow?
Well, it's not easy, because at the end of the day, the simple question that each of these particular decision makers has to answer is, if such resources and such loans didn't exist, are you now conceding that those that have been given the responsibility to manage the city simply wouldn't be able to do the job? And that is a problem on its own. So you do need to be able to go back and remember what the binding social contract is between those citizens and those that have been given the responsibility and the power to run and manage those cities. And the expectation is that with what we give you and with the rights and responsibilities we give to you, you will be able to do the type of job that we expect as citizens. And when that doesn't happen, there ought to be some element of accountability. What this seeks to do is that it says, look, the rules of the land and the rules of governance structures, whether it's municipalities or councils, those rules must be able to hold those that have been elected and appointed accountable to what they've signed up for. What this particular model seeks to do is that it seeks to provide a more overarching incentive to do much more than just what you've been contracted to do. So a lot of these particular bureaucrats and some of these councillors will say, well, actually, we've done the minimum that was expected of us. And the question is, if we want these cities to improve and we want these cities to continuously get better, what should we put on the table as a driving positive stimulus? And that's really what this particular conversation is about. And I think obviously National Treasury has a much bigger mandate of balancing the trade-offs across the state at large, and they would struggle to justify simply allocating additional resources to just 8 of these sub-national government structures. We do have 257 municipalities in total, so the idea that you prioritize 8 out of 257 will be very difficult to sell. So that you do need to get some partnerships, whether it's through loans or through other means. They've clearly gone for loans right now, which is not always desirable, but you do need to find some complementary access to resources that will be, enable these cities that carry the bulk of the economic activity to do much better, so that you turn that into a much more positive multiplier effect. The better the cities are, the better their ability to correct rates and tariffs. And in the world where subsidization is the way we do things, the more resources the big cities and the big brothers can collect, the better it is for everyone else, who then depends on getting some of those windfalls to cascade towards them. So it's a much bigger public policy conversation, and we do need to be vigilant, naturally, about how all of these are managed, because ultimately it is still a loan, isn't it?
Kaya, I want to get into exactly that aspect of it. We seem to be, as I say we, as a country, we seem to be increasing our borrowing rate, particularly from multilateral organizations and offshore borrowings, the likes of the World Bank and the IMF, for various purposes. If I remember correctly, the conversation out of National Treasury was an effort to stabilize our debt to GDP. Can we just understand, perhaps from a balancing act perspective, how achievable this becomes? Because as the debt continues to grow, one would inherently need to see the GDP grow as well.
Again, when it comes to public policy trade-offs, the question is not whether you borrow. The question is the purpose for the borrowings. So in an instance where you are borrowing an additional rand or an additional dollar, the most important question is not just whether you borrowed, but at what rate you borrow and for what purpose that you borrow. So if you are able to take those borrowings and then multiply them onto something much greater, in other words, the social and sometimes even the economic returns exceed what that borrowing is, then you're in a net better off position. So the key issue here is that when you then look at what the rules of engagement are, there should be some clarity that if you borrow this amount of money, we expect you to invest in this type of infrastructure, whether it's social infrastructure or other forms of infrastructure, that then ultimately enables you to deepen or widen your rate payer base if the rates are what you collect, your tax base if the tax are what you collect, or whatever other windfalls you're getting from there. So you do have to be able to acknowledge that the loan is just a starting point. The purpose of the loan is a far more critical question. And obviously, when these are being put together, we anticipate that those that are responsible for putting these deals together and for championing these deals are very alert to the need to ensure that the net social returns, however one measures them, exceeds what the cost of borrowing is. So that really is what you're dealing with here. Unfortunately, because of the legacy of borrowings that have been ill-advised in the past, it does feel like that we are simply just deepening the black hole of borrowings. But it is important to be able to distinguish between what is necessary borrowing that is targeted towards activating that multiplier impact on all of these social dimensions, versus paying for the sins of the past, which is obviously something that unfortunately we're stuck with until we honor all of those historical obligations.
South Africa has never had a problem attracting capital into its markets and into its economy. It has always historically been about the use of these funds and finances. One will have to see how this intended loan is then distributed from a South African perspective. But for now, we'll have to leave this conversation on that note. Thank you to founder and director at Kariska Consulting, Kaya Sotole, for joining us to take a look at the latest loan that's been approved from the World Bank for South Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.